Hey, all cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
I'm good. A little sad, but also relieved that the World Cup is over. I feel like I have already moved on to FPL while the World Cup was still happening. So now, it's all systems go FPL. Thank you, World Cup. You've been fun.
Yeah, it was a real relief. You know, World Cup and Wimbledon both wrapping up on Sunday. I needed it for the sake of my actual full time paying job. It was a lot of distraction. It's good in that regard. It's also good because I'm ready for FPL to start. You know, it's 2 months is about as long as I really want to go. The final like 2 or 3 weeks, I'm really ready for it to come back. I mean, I don't know if my family is ready for it to come back, but I know that I personally am.
Well, during the World Cup final, I was actually on a historic home tour with my wife. And my logic here was everyone's like, my God, this happens once every 4 years. And what a tremendous match between Croatia and France. You missed it because you went on a historic home tour. I was thinking about FPL the entire time. I was thinking there's going to be a Huddersfield-Wolverhampton match that I'm going to be dying to watch for FPL implications. And I'm going to be able to cash that chip in with Leela, so I'm going to be able to avoid brunch or a family outing so I can stay home and watch some garbage FPL fixture.
So, Brandon, the World Cup is officially over. Quick congratulations to Floydeth, who won our World Cup League. He's the Tinker Man on Twitter, so go give him a follow. He is finished number 5 overall in the world, so very impressive. I think he gets like a science captain band and like a full album of Panini stickers and stuff like that. So he's having a good day or good week.
My question about the Panini album, are the stickers already applied to the album? Is that what a full Panini album
lovingly
suggests?
Apply them? Yeah, I'm not sure how that works.
Because that doesn't sound like a whole lot of fun to me.
Yeah, Tinkerman, you're going to have to fill us in on that. But this podcast is not about the World Cup. It is about the Fantasy Premier League game. FPL, Brandon, the term that was not even really used when we started doing this podcast. Now FPL is like the only way I ever hear it described. A lot can change in 3 years, can't it?
Absolutely. This will be our 8th season playing FPL, as it's now called.
I thought you were joking about the podcast. That's like, we have not been doing it that long, have we?
Time flies, Joshua.
Seriously. FPL, it's officially back. It's back. Was August 11th is when the games actually kick off. There's a question here. Jamal Rice, FPL Ant, and Ian Walker. I'll ask some variation of the question. What kind of FPL season usually follows the World Cup? So, Brandon, you took a look at the 2014 season, right?
Yeah, got in the old always cheating DeLorean and went back to 2014, 2015, and it was Chelsea, you know, winning with the lauded Jose Mourinho, and Man City just came up short. Let's see, Chelsea on 87 points and Man City a ways behind on 79 points. Chelsea ran away with it. This was the season that Leicester almost got relegated, but somehow eked out 41, kind of amazing 41 points.
Yeah, it was like all 1-0 wins too.
Yeah, I mean, nothing truly memorable in this season at the end of the day about how it was impacted by the World Cup per se. And I think we're going to talk a lot about it in our team previews. And its true impact will really only be in the first month or two. We're going to see probably a fair amount of fatigue at the start of the season, and the big teams with a lot of depth are probably going to separate themselves from the pack early on.
Yeah, I think that's all true. I will give a shout out, Brandon, to David Monday, who is a writer for Fantasy Football Scout, and he's also a good Twitter follow. He wrote a couple of articles about how the World Cup is going to affect basically every single team in the Premier League. And he talks about minutes played, things like that. And it's a good look at, exactly how much certain teams are going to get affected. We talked, you know, in part one of our preview podcast, which you can go listen to. It's teams A through H, about, you know, Chelsea in particular is a team that's really affected by it. And Spurs, I think we're going to get to in a minute, are really affected by it as well. But, you know, the difference is, you know, this year there's almost a week less recovery time than I was even 4 years ago. So if you assume these guys all get, you know, 2 or 3 weeks off, which they really haven't even had since the season ended, the 2017-18 season, 2 or 3 weeks off to recover, and then, you know, probably 2 or 3 weeks to get back into, you know, game shape. So I think for a lot of these players, especially someone like Dejan Lovren, who played, you know, like
the best extra defender time, in the world,
who played extra time, you know, in a bunch of matches in the World Cup, there's a good chance that he doesn't actually play, I would think, until after the first international break.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And Harry Kane, who appears to still be nursing, one might think nursing the same injury that he caught last season. So fatigue on top of other issues happening in his body. I don't know what's going to happen with him.
That's my worry with Mo Salah as well. I mean, Mo Salah, you know, only played 2 matches in the World Cup, you know, went out in the first round, but, or, you know, what is that round called? The group stage. Went out in the group stage, but he's still nursing the injury. I mean, it's not like it's been 6 months since the last season ended, you know? I mean, it's been like two, you know? And so if he had a bad shoulder injury can sometimes, you know, knock you out for many months. So, I mean, you know, I assume that he would have, if this were the Premier League season, he wouldn't have played a match, right? Mm-hmm. He would not have played those 2 matches that he played for Egypt.
Let me say this. So Ian Walker alludes to planning an early wild card because of all of the rotation or late starts for some players because of the World Cup. You know, the best played plans with the wild card, right? And we always end up finding ourselves back into a corner and playing our wild card earlier than we expected. But I think no season is it more important than after the World Cup to do everything you can to hold that wild card. It's a player like Harry Kane at 12.5 million. He's going to be really impossible to fit into your team because you're not going to have him game week one to do the reorganization needed to fit him in if he comes back healthy and hitting the ground running. That's when the wild card will be needed. So just bear that in mind.
Although it's interesting because I think almost everyone's planning a wild card around game week 3 or 4. Or so many. I know that that's certainly on my mind, is sort of building a team for the first 3 weeks, made up almost exclusively of players who didn't play in the World Cup, and then transitioning into a team of players that are informed. But I actually wonder if with good planning, you wouldn't need to use a wild card. And there's maybe like a big edge there too. You know, if you sort of have, if you could plan your moves 3 or 4 weeks into the season, which is really hard to do, obviously, you know, because it's just like, you know, it's that Mike Tyson thing about how, you know, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, sometimes you see people on, you know, Facebook or Twitter or whatever, and they're like, all right, I got the first 8 game weeks planned out, right? It's like, here's like every single move I'm gonna make. And then, you know, someone pulls up with a hamstring and it's like everything goes awry. Yeah. But I think you can at least think in terms of overall strategy, you know, in terms of the kind of, you know, especially when it comes to the biggest players, the really expensive players, a strategy for bringing those players in, maybe not falling in love with the players you have in your squad. So, you know, the other player who is going to be affected, not so much by the World Cup, is Son on Spurs, who is playing in the Asian Games. You heard about the Asian Games, Brandon?
I'm Skyping in remotely from the Asian Games right now, Josh. We're having a grand time.
So he is going to be gone, I think, until it's like September 1st or 2nd is when the final football match is played in the Asian Games.
Yeah.
So he's probably not going to play a single match for Spurs until like game week 5. So a lot of these guys are going to be affected, and maybe, I don't know, you know, the Asian Games probably had to take place after the World Cup took place too. So I guess it probably is a knock on World Cup effect in a way.
And it's double for some of the big Asian players as well, because the Asia Cup is through the month of January. So Heung-min Son will be playing in the Asian Games now or come August, September, and then in the Asian Cup later. So it's a mess. Yeah.
So just don't bring in Son for your team, okay? And don't bring in Harry Kane either. That guy's not playing for like what, 3 weeks? Yeah. 4 weeks maybe?
I feel like four weeks, yeah.
Yeah, probably 4 weeks. All right, we wanted to lead off with a little FPL before we talked briefly about Patreon. I want to talk less about our new Patreon tiers, all of which you can go read about on patreon.com/alwayscheating, New tiers are draft league t-shirts. You can talk trash about people in your mini league, or I guess you could talk trash about us or just people you don't like in real life. I don't really care. Right? There's no restrictions on trash talk, right? If you want to trash talk Donald Trump just, with your money, that's fine.
Yeah. No libel or slander, though. We don't want to get sued.
Don't get us in trouble. Yeah, exactly. Whatever's anything below us getting sued, I'm basically fine with. But we do have some new and upgraded patrons that I wanted to mention. Or why don't you mention them, Brandon?
Happy to, Josh. Big thanks to all these people. New upgraded patrons at the exclusive producer level. This is the highest level offered to Always Cheating listeners. Sam Streak, Jacob Roberts, and Nick Costello.
Woo!
Welcome, guys. Woo! Also want to thank Dave Wegner-Lodahl, a recent upgrade. Also Bjart Waltna-Helgeson, Jesse Halstead, Richard Nkvist, James Parker, Jeff Walker, Rizzo, Preben Matthew Burke, and Thomas Velling. Thank you all.
Yeah, thanks, guys. That was me clapping. I actually have very weak – I was actually clapping as hard as I can, but my carpal tunnel makes it very difficult to really go
story.
In on that. It's very sad. But both yeah. hands, it's really – it's a shame.
Do you – you now you use the mouse pad on your laptop by blowing through a straw. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. It's not easy, actually, and I'm a graphic designer by trade, so it's been very tricky, Brandon.
Jesus.
All right, let's get into these team previews. Just one quick thing, some recent friendly results. These are teams that we're not going to be talking about in this week's podcast. We talked about them on in part one, but Arsenal beat Boreham Wood 8-0. There was a Aubameyang hat trick in that game. Funny side note, there's a guy who follows us on Twitter. I'm forgetting his name right now, who was very annoyed because Boreham Wood apparently is all one word. And they have turned it into two words, the club, as branding. Like, it's just Boreham Wood, one word.
It's like a Hull Tigers situation.
He was very mad about the branding. Everton, 22-0 win. It is the most – I was joking online about how when I saw the Arsenal Boreham.
Is this real?
Boreham Wood. Yeah, yeah, 22-0 win, yes. Yeah, while you're at your wedding, while you're touring historic homes, Brandon.
This is a little match fixie, Josh. What was the spread on this friendly? Did they have a spread?
I assume they took it off the book. Yeah, Morales with 5 goals. That is Kevin Morales. I didn't even know he was still on Everton. That is amazing.
Good for you, Morales. We thought you were with the Tampa Bay Mutiny already, Kevin Morales.
I joked, though, and I was Everton 22-0. I was like, oh, that's ridiculous. That doesn't mean anything. But Arsenal Boreham Wood 8-0. I was like, Aubameyang. It's like 8-0 is still a pretty lopsided win. Bournemouth played Sevilla. Jordan Ibe, who we touted a little bit. We big upped on the Blubbers pod. Mm-hmm. And then Palace, 2-2 draw. Possibly not a great sign, but Sorloth scored. He also had multiple assists in another friendly today. So is Sorloth actually going to be an FPL option this year? How great would that be after all of our Sorloth praise last season?
He is a good God. He is a wise God. He is a merciful God.
Truly.
Is he an FPL God, though? I remain unconvinced.
We will see. He has got a wonderful look and a wonderful name. I don't like to say his first name. I just like Sorloth. And I actually think it's pronounced Sorloth, but I don't like the way that sounds, so I'm going to keep saying Sorloth.
He has the body of Cristiano Ronaldo and the head of Ivan Drago from Rocky IV, so there you go.
And the name of a character from Goonies. It's fantastic. All right, Brandon, let's take a quick break, and we're going to get back with team previews starting with Leicester City.
Same old podcast, always cheating.
All right, Josh, let's commence with the team previewing. We are covering Leicester City through Wolverhampton, and I'm up first with Leicester. And Claude Puel, he is a managerial trickster in my mind.
The like Loki of the Premier League.
Yeah. People seem to like Claude Puel and think he does a nice job. He had an end of the season for Leicester that seemed sackable. But here he remains. And I don't want to be so cynical as to be like, well, Leicester didn't win the league again, so just sack this guy. It's nice that they're sticking with him for the long term.
I guess they're not Chelsea, right? It's like they're not like, I mean, you know, Puel's a good Puel won the Ligue 1 with Monaco not so long ago, right? It was like 17 years ago.
Yeah.
It's like the year after Wenger won it.
The thing I always think about with Puel is not really his managerial bona fides, but the fact that he looks like the shapeshifter from Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
I've never seen that show.
Well, it's fine. Look it up. All right. Okay. So what can we say about Leicester City? They had some players who will be impacted by the World Cup. Of course, the blockhead, Harry Maguire, he saw five starts with England, scored a beautiful goal. So we can expect to maybe see him get a rest the first couple of weeks. Also, Kasper Schmeichel was a bit of a Superman for Denmark. And three Nigerian gentlemen, Ndidi, Iheanacho, and Ahmed Musa, who scored one of the greatest goals of the World Cup. Yes. Though Musa is not even in the FPL game. So he went off loan, and I guess he's just not fitting in there at Leicester, but which is a wonder because he looked amazing for Nigeria during the World Cup. Right. Let's look at the fixtures for Leicester. They're actually pretty good. If you look beyond the opening fixture with Man United, which is away, and then they have Liverpool at home in game week 4, beyond that, it's very kind in the first 8 weeks with Wolves, Southampton, Bournemouth, Huddersfield, Newcastle, and Everton. The major question, though, in terms of investment is in the attack now without Riyad Mahrez. Insani in the membrane asks, who is the best bet for a Leicester City mid after Riyad Mahrez departure? I am of the opinion that I guess it's not very controversial, Josh, but the loss of Mahrez for this team really cannot be overstated. Okay. Yeah, but James Maddison is coming in at 6.5 million. I've got a few stats on James Maddison. And 6.5, if you remember, was the legendary Riyad Mahrez price the season in which he exploded as an FPL asset.
That's true. I think it was actually 5.5.
Or maybe it was even 5.5. It was incredibly low. But is Lightning going to strike twice with a guy like James Maddison, who's coming from a championship side in Norwich City?
Well, tell us more about him. Let's hear it.
All right. So he's priced at 6.5. And that tells me that the FPL Towers thinks that he does have something to offer. So last season for Norwich, Maddison scored 14 goals. And 8 of those 14 were coming from open play and 2 on penalties. So his goal scoring is multifaceted. He took a whopping 115 shots last season, which was the 4th most in the championship, i.e. this man is very active on the pitch. So 4th most shots in the championship. But Josh, James Maddison doesn't finish less than first. I didn't quite put that as artfully as I wanted to. Don't tell Maddison.
He finished first in the U.S. elections twice, Brandon. Yeah. 1808 and 1812, he won re-election.
He also finished best in the championship with 124 key passes. So it's goals, it's key passes. He's just a creative midfielder that could potentially provide service for Jamie Vardy and unleash some goals of his own. So 21-year-old, signed for a reported $22 million. Leicester seemed to have high hopes for this guy, and I don't think you can say much more about James Maddison before we see him actually play with Leicester.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's like this kind of crop of 6.5 million players right now, all of whom, you know, it's like there's Diego Jota on Wolverhampton. There's Ryan Sessegnon, all of whom are really risky. there's not a one of them would you just start off your team with and all of a sudden like and just feel very confident that you're going to get returns, you know, right away from them. But there's something to be said for having like one of those players in your team, maybe, right? Maybe not even, I don't know. I mean, like, is 6.5 million too high to take a risk? You know, I mean, to start off the season, I mean, sure, if he starts off firing, then obviously, you know, bring him in. But at the start of the season, is that too high for you?
It does feel too high. I think we talked about this when we were going on about Sessegnon versus Carney, and Carney at 5.0 versus Sessegnon at 6.5. If you have two attacking assets on one team that you're looking to invest in, if it's a risk, I mean, maybe you say you're minimizing the risk by going for the lower price asset. Though, if the 6.5 million guy is the one that starts firing, you're going to have to move some players around to shift a 5.0 guy into 6.5. So is it lower risk to start at 6.5 and then chop down to 5.0? So you can easily make the case that taking a punt on a 6.5 million guy does leave you enough freedom to escape if it looks like it's not working out.
You could argue, I mean, it looked at it in a different way. You could argue that that 6.5 million is what a Azpilicueta costs, you know, and maybe the move is to, you know, is to have someone like him or maybe Antonio Valencia at the start of the season. And if you want to bring in a 6.5 midfielder, then you'll have a couple weeks in the season to kind of see who some of the defenses are that you might want. Like there's a lot of teams right now, like Southampton, that have a bunch of 4.5 million defensive assets. Wolves do, you know, Cardiff does. You know, if one of those seems like they're really going to be valuable, then you can downgrade your, you know, you can basically free up 2 million by going from 6.5 to 4.5 and then move that into the midfield too. So, you know, so I guess that's a long way of saying that I don't think I'll have any of those James Madison, Ryan Sessegnon types on my team at the start of the season, but I'll definitely be happy to make a move for one if you know, if one of them starts to fire.
Yeah, there was an interesting comparison between Madison and Mahrez that I saw on Fantasy Football Scout, where minutes per shot last season, Mahrez averaged 40 and a half minutes per shot. Madison only 31.6 minutes. So he's shooting more frequently, and minutes per key pass, just under 30 minutes for Madison versus 51 minutes for Mahrez. So the stats are looking pretty good.
It's the Norwich way though, Brandon. They're the next Barcelona. Yeah. I mean, you know, when you come through the Norwich system, that's how they all play, you know?
All right. So that's James Madison, but the other
Norwich,
key figure
Norwich
here,
Taka, they call it,
Damari Gray. It's Damari Gray's team now, Josh. So okay, if you're talking about, it's a risk at 6.5 to bring in James Madison. Damari Gray, he's kind of been lurking on the margins of FPL for a few seasons now. When he comes in and has a great game, he looks like a world beater. 5.5, he's priced to buy. And given these fixtures, a lot of green fixtures, I think he could be worth a punt if you're feeling good about Leicester. So last season, he finished with 3 goals and 3 assists. But I think that does undersell his talent in this Leicester side.
Yeah, I don't know that I am feeling good about Leicester, but I am really curious about this team. You know, I'm really interested in what happens when you lose someone like Mahrez. You know, like who steps up? You know, and someone's going to, right? I mean, you know, they're not. I don't see them being relegated. You know, I think they've got enough strength, you know, throughout that team. But someone's going to have to be a key midfielder for them, and none of them are expensive.
Yeah.
I mean, unless they make some move for some big player that so far they haven't done yet, there's going to be someone really valuable who's 6.5 million or less on their team. So, you know, so it'll be interesting. I think, you know, someone's got to give the ball to Vardy, right? So,
yeah. Well, and then there's something to be said for how it plays out up front with Leicester, because depending on fatigue and World Cup and all of that with Iheanacho, he could be somebody that could play off Vardy's shoulder or sort of in the hole. And do a bit of a job there. You look at Vardy at 9.0. This is the luxury to end all luxuries. Granted, he did score 20 goals last season, but we have very viable options at 7 million. You've got Roberto Firmino at 9.5, and then where we want to be with Aubameyang and Aguero at 11. I just don't see how Vardy fits in here. And it would be great to see Iheanacho really fulfill. Again, I'm talking about potential. There's a lot of potential players here with Damari Gray and Iheanacho. At 6.0, that could be really good value.
All right, what about the defense?
Yeah, defense, we have a question from FPL Qualified. Ricardo Perea looks attacking. Any thoughts on him in a bolstered Johnny Evans blockhead combo defense? So, we'll get to Maguire, but Ricardo Pereira.
Quick side note, Maguire is owned by like 22% of FPL right now. Like, I think it's like 21.8%. Yeah. It's insanely high for someone who is definitely not going to play the first couple weeks.
Yeah, the first 2-4 weeks of the season will be the Wes Morgan farewell tour. So just get on board with that right away.
But I wish they priced him at like 3.5 to start the season, just so we could all have him for a couple weeks.
That would be, yeah, an amazing tip of the hat to club captain, legendary league winner, Wes
Title
Morgan.
Winner, yeah.
So, yeah, Perea is an interesting new signing, priced at 5.0 in the game. He comes from Porto, and he is off on the wing, surely displacing Danny Simpson, who... at long last, we'll see the bench. Like, it's a miracle that I know you hate Danny Simpson, Josh. I mean, hate's a strong word, but yeah, you've never quite understood how he's hung on to that place as long as he has.
Yeah, he was terrible last season, last two seasons.
Yeah. So, like I said, from Porto, he's fresh off of a season in which Porto conceded a league low 18 goals in 34 games. So he's a seasoned defender. Just 3 yellow cards for Perea last season. So that bodes well for his FPL output. 4 assists in 3 seasons running. So not many goals, but he looks good for assists. And he has history with Claude Puel, who brought Perea to Nice back in 2015. So a flame rekindled there.
It's tempting, though. I mean, those first 8 weeks, there are some really strong fixtures. I mean, Wolves, Southampton, Bournemouth, Huddersfield, Everton.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of potential clean sheets. Honestly, they weren't. I mean, Ben Chilwell was a valuable asset, you know, the second half of last season. But
yeah.
Their clean sheets. They weren't. You know, they weren't exactly a dynamic clean sheet keeping team last year.
Yeah. All right. Not to dwell on Leicester too much. So let's just take the broad view on their defense. Perea at 5.0 and Ben Chilwell also at 5.0. Perea just looks more fun because he's new. He looks like he has the bona fides. I'd go with him, whereas Maguire is going to get rested at the start of the season. He's priced up at 5.5. I don't feel like we need to go that high on Leicester if you want to do it. Johnny Evans, who is also a new signing coming in to replace the aged Wes Morgan, he's priced at 5.0 as well. I mean, he's good for a goal, but why not have some fun? Go for Perea.
Okay, I like it. That's good advice. All right, move on to Liverpool. Liverpool is very strong opening fixtures. I'd say the opening 4 fixtures are very strong. They play West Ham, they play Palace, Brighton, and Leicester in those first 4. Get a little trickier after that. They play Spurs, Chelsea, and Man City in 3 to 4 games. The team is arguably, from an attack perspective anyway, pretty fixture-proof. Big issue with them is how much the World Cup is going to affect them. Dejan Lovren has played just an insane number of minutes. But Jordan Henderson, too, who's, it was arguable how big his role was going to be this season, although certainly he's still going to have a role with the club. But Henderson played a ton of minutes as well. Trent Alexander-Arnold, Mignolet didn't play at all. Firmino inexplicably barely played. Mm-hmm. Somehow Jesus, who just did not have a great World Cup. Sadio Mane played 3 starts, but he was out in the group stage. Then Mo Salah, who we talked about earlier, only had 2 starts, played 180 minutes. So the World Cup is going to affect them. Liverpool, their key players are not traveling with them, at least at the moment. There's some talk that they may join them at some point in the lead up to, basically, they're going to go on this U.S. tour, they're going to come back, and then they have a couple of preliminary games before the season actually starts.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like they may join them for that. So whether that's enough time for them to actually, and I'm talking specifically about players like Mane, Firmino, and Salah, whether that's enough time for them to actually be starters going into game week 1, I don't think that's anything that anyone can really answer right now. I'm not even sure that, to be honest, I'm not sure that Klopp knows, right? It's not like he necessarily, he has an accurate gauge right now of where they are physically, so
all he knows from Firmino is what Firmino has told him via WhatsApp. So
right, and have you seen the Firmino haircut, by the way?
No.
It's amazing. It's like he looks like a Ken doll or something. It's like he's got this.
I'm looking this up right now. Firmino haircut. There you go.
It's amazing. There's a lot of talk about Firmino possibly leaving in the offseason, maybe a move to Real Madrid. Obviously, Real Madrid have a ton of money now that Ronaldo has moved to Juve. So it's possible Firmino leaves. I certainly hope he doesn't. I don't think he will, but I don't know.
He did sign a $9 million contract. Not that this really means anything, but
right.
You know, he's signed a new deal.
Yeah,
over the summer.
Those deals don't mean anything, though. I mean, Salah signed a new deal too. So, incoming players, we've got Fabinho, a defensive midfielder.
Say it with confidence, Josh.
I know every Portuguese name. I shrivel up and get nervous before I say it. Fabinho, a defensive midfielder from nice. Monaco, likely Emery Chan replacement, $6 million. Not a player I'm looking at for fantasy. Naby Keita, a little more interesting because of his price. Central midfielder, 9 goals and 7 assists last year for RB Leipzig. Shaqiri was just joined. He's also $7.5 million, which I think is an unfortunately high price. Yes. I wish he was just a little bit cheaper. 8 goals, 7 assists in 36 games for Stoke last year. You do wonder, you know, he's not going to be on every free kick the way he was at Stoke. He'll be on some. He obviously is not going to start every match either. I don't know. I mean, the Shaqiri thing is, I'm happy for the club because I think it's good for their squad depth. I mean,
yeah.
If they had a player like Shaqiri in the Champions League final, like just a player who could have come in when Salah was injured, it really could have changed that game, right? And as it was, they just had nobody, basically.
Bupkis.
Yeah, they had Bupkis. Shaqiri and Naby Keita are two players that fall in that watch category. I would not recommend bringing either in.
It's a shame that Shaqiri got relegated last season with Stoke, because I feel like that impacted his price. Like, had Stoke not gotten relegated, he would have been in the game as a Stoke player, priced at like 6.5, 7 million, maybe. Probably 7 million.
Weirdest thing about Shaqiri, do you know he's like 26 years old? I would have assumed he was a lot older than that. I feel like Shaqiri's been around forever. You know, like, I don't know. It's weird.
He's 26. The face of a man who's seen things.
It does. Shaqiri, Naby Keita, Fabinho. None of those players are players that I'm looking at for my fantasy team. So I'm not going to dwell on them too much. There are a couple maybes. There's Alisson on Roma, who starting keeper for Brazil. Very good keeper. Everybody says so, Brandon. Not just me, everybody.
Count me among them.
I will go ask your wife what she thinks about Alisson.
Wife? Hello?
And then there's Fekir Lyon, who has 18 goals, 7 assists in 30 games last season. Possible Firmino replacement. I don't know if I'm saying that correctly. You know, I'm just going to plow through all these names. You know, eventually I will learn them.
You're doing great, Josh. Yeah. All in
time. Thank you, Brandon. I needed the confidence booster there. Fekir, he is a player who they like almost agreed to a deal about a month or so ago, and then the deal fell apart. I was just reading yesterday that talks may be reopening though. So I assume that, you know, Liverpool basically called Lyon's bluff. Mm-hmm. And now Lyon's like, all right, fine, we'll take your 36.5 million plus add-ons or whatever they're asking for. So we'll see what happens there. Probably only happens if Firmino leaves. Key players, Brandon, Mo Salah. Perhaps you've heard of this guy.
Tell me more about him. Where did he come from? How many goals did he score last season? Was he any good?
I know that he had 3 bonus points less than Firmino. I know that much, despite having double the goals and 1.5 times as many assists. He starts the season at $13 million. Obviously, amazing, unforgettable season. Last year will always go down as the Mo Salah season, I think. I guess it will also go down as the season when Man City were completely dominant, but Mo Salah really was the story of the year. Amazing season, hurts his shoulder in the Champions League final, and now we just kind of have to wait and see. I mean, I guess the key question though is, you know, is he in your bus squad right now? If you got hit by a bus, and you know the team that you have right now is the team that you'd start game week one with, is Mo Salah in that team?
Yeah, Mark on Twitter asks us, is it possible to be successful in FPL this season without having Salah? So the question you have to ask is not whether you will have Salah, but will everyone else have Salah, right? And Salah, as we saw last season, everyone had him, but what's more is everyone was captaining him.
Right. This is an old Nick Cummings thing, where Nick Cummings is a guy who ran a one of the all-time great FPL player, ran a site called Transfer Hub for a long time. And the community is still, you can still find the community, but Nick has sort of receded into the shadows, Brandon. He's part of the League of Shadows now. But he had this theory that you really had to own the most highly owned players. It just wasn't worth the risk not to have them, because if they did well, it just hurt your overall rank so much. And Mo Salah at the moment is owned by an unbelievable 46.7% of managers.
Yeah, right.
That is so high. I mean, that is, you know, I mean, if he scores a goal and an assist, let's assume he starts in game week one, and we'll know more from Klopp in the coming weeks about whether he will. If he scores a goal and an assist and has a couple bonus points in game week one, and you don't have him in your squad, you know, you could be basically in a hole starting in game week one that it might take you, you know, 10 weeks to crawl out of.
Yeah. I am open to other arguments, very open, but I just feel for me, I have to start with him, because if you're in a world of pain, if he comes out and starts scoring goals, you're not fitting him into your squad.
Exactly. That's why it takes 10 weeks. It's not like you can just leave. You can't do a like for like. You know, there's no other 13 million midfielders out there. So you're going to have to rearrange your team to bring him in.
Yeah. I mean, your team will look amazing if you don't have Salah in there. And say Salah just he's not a great player to start the season. He's not bringing in the points like we expect. Then you're a genius. You look great and you're the better for it. But just the data shows, the historical data shows that that's probably not going to happen. You need to sort of prepare for not that.
Yeah, if he is healthy and ready to go in game week one, I think he's probably in my team too. This season, I'm really trying to make an effort to be a little more defensive in my approach, in terms of sort of blocking key players and not just go against players because I think it's boring. You know, like if I had Salah for like basically the entire season last year, to me, it's like a little boring to have him.
Oh, yeah.
And like that, but, you know, that thinking, though, can really get you into trouble.
And this is I don't think we're arguing to be boring or to be conservative. This is the most extreme case of that.
Right.
The most Salah case. This would be the one. I mean, there are many other opportunities for us to zig as opposed to zag. And I'm all for that. Right. But I feel like this is the one where there is the biggest downside if you get it wrong.
Right. I think you're right. And I think for that reason, the thing is, if he isn't performing, that's going to be amazing, because when you can drop Mo Salah and you'll have 13 million to spread around your team, it'll be like Christmas. It'll be like another wild card.
Yeah.
You know, you'll have so much cash to spread around.
How about this? How about we take Mo Salah out of the game and we replace the bench boost with the Mo Salah chip? Play your Mo Salah chip and you get to get Mo Salah's points for that game week.
It's not a bad idea. Firmino, 9.5 million, 15 goals, 8 assists, 29 bonus points. He was amazing last year. That whole team was just really fun to watch, but Firmino might have almost been more fun than Salah in some ways. Not more fun, but he was almost as fun because his passing is unbelievable for a forward.
Yeah, he plays the game where, I mean, Salah was just like motoring the entire time. This lethal efficiency. And Firmino is one of those Harlem Globetrotter-esque players who has that verve and that joy on his face when he's playing.
Right, right, exactly.
And also his points were kind of, I mean, he was great and Liverpool were flying, but his points would be unexpected at times where other players, like Salah's, were not unexpected.
And then you've got Sadio Mane, who is the kind of George Harrison to their John and Paul. Does that analogy hold up? Does that make Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain Ringo? Is that?
No, I think Jordan Henderson is Ringo. Absolutely.
So Mane is 9 million. Kind of if you feel like you need some Liverpool coverage, and you know, if you believe in the idea of coverage, a controversial topic. I don't know that I believe in it. Then he had 10 goals, 8 assists, 8 bonus points. I think those numbers are not an accurate reflection of Sadio Mane's goal scoring ability, though, because he had so many suspensions last year.
Yeah.
and I think he was out with an injury for a while too. He just missed a lot of matches.
Yeah. Some bad luck.
Yeah. He had some bad luck. So, I mean, given their fixtures, I haven't seen it in a lot of teams that have Salah and Mane, but you could do it. I mean, you know, West Ham, Palace, Brighton, Leicester in the first four. I mean,
yeah,
you know, it could be tons of goals in all of those games. I remember last season they started with that Actually, no, I guess I'm thinking of two seasons ago when they started with the 4-3 win over Arsenal. But, you know, they're going to be a really this team is only going to be better than it was last year by all accounts. I mean, given all the kind of work they've done to build up their spine. And I feel like we're going a little long on these. So I'm just going to one player to avoid, I think, is Dejan Lovren, just because of all the minutes that he played. He's priced very well at 5 million. So I do think that he's a great wild card player, but not a player I'd want to bring in at the start. But Andrew Robertson is a player that I feel like is not maybe in popping in enough teams as he should. Right. He's a Scottish player, had the summer off, you know, had a goal and 5 assists last season. He's priced at 6 million. So it is not a cheap price.
Yeah.
But given their fixtures, you know, I don't know. I mean, maybe you drop him before that Spurs Chelsea Man City run and starting in game week 5, but for those first 4 game weeks, I think I like him as a possible, a premium defender.
Yeah, no, the premium defender. I think the choice there is, do you try and go for the Andy Robertson assists, or do you gamble on the Van Dijk set piece goal?
And, Van Dijk was just so disappointing last year.
Perhaps he was FPL wise. I do think it, particularly if you're a Liverpool fan, you saw the defensive change, the evolution that happened when Van Dijk arrived at the squad. So I think this year could actually be a big FPL year for Van Dijk. He does have the goal scoring ability on set pieces. And if the defense is getting even more sound, if we could talk about Loris Karius and have a lot of fun there, but,
Maybe it's risky to take a chance on any defender as long as the goal until the goalkeeper situation is sorted out.
All right. Anything else on Liverpool?
No, I think we're ready to move on.
Okay. I've got Manchester City here. My first note is, World Cup. Perhaps one of the next to Spurs, the team that could be most affected by the World Cup. I mean, Chelsea have a lot of assets in the World Cup as well, but you look at this is like a murderer's row of great FPL players from last season. Kevin De Bruyne, David Silva, Kyle Walker, Raheem Sterling, Gabriel Jesus. These guys all played a ton of minutes in the World Cup, and it's going to be dicey. That said, Manchester City have some fantastic fixtures to start the season. It's away to Arsenal in game week 1, but after that, it's gravy. It's Huddersfield, Wolves, Newcastle, Fulham, Cardiff, Brighton, until they hit Liverpool in game week 8. So despite these players that might be getting rested, great fixtures. So what we have is just a great list of assets that might be good pre-wild card assets. Chief among them is Riyad Mahrez. This is a guy where I feel like he's an exciting player unto himself, but on Manchester City, he looks like a guy that was just brought in for squad depth, obviously. But in this situation where you've got Raheem Sterling that's going to need a fair amount of rest, Mahrez looks assured to get quite a few minutes during this great early run for City at $9 million. That could be pretty good value.
You don't like him more than Sané, though, do you?
No, I do not like him more than Sané. Sané would be the one for me that is straight into my bus team. And so that's the argument that one would make. Okay, maybe you can save 0.5 with Mahrez coming. He's coming off of a pretty decent season with 13 goals and 9 assists. But Sané at 9.5, we know he knows Pep's system. He works in that team. He's a proven FPL player. Just as much as Mahrez over the course of the last 2 seasons anyway. Sané straight in for game week 1, and he'll be very fresh with no World Cup for Germany. So 10 goals, 15 assists, 17 bonus points for Leroy Sané last season. And he really has no competition, Sané does, out on the left. I'm sure some of these winger type players for City are skillful enough to drop in and fill in for Sané out there. But if you look at Sterling, Bernardo Silva, and Mahrez, their natural positions are more on the right hand side. So that is where you'd expect to see more rotation.
I was just thinking about it's amazing how far he came. Like, he was basically like rotating with Ben Mendy, you know, at the start of last season. And And then, you know, by the end of the season, he was the Premier League Young Player of the Year, you know, so it was a pretty, you know, pretty, he really just came into his own, didn't he? Sané's in my bus team too. I mean, honestly, he was the first player on my squad. Their fixtures are fantastic. His price is reasonable. His production is great. Yeah. Didn't play in the World Cup. There's a lot to like about him.
Yeah, there was some frustration with Sané. I mean, I had him last season during periods where he just wouldn't produce despite the fixtures and right. seemingly having good form. But he's a young player. I guess he'll be streaky. I do want to highlight, I think you highlighted him in an earlier podcast this summer, Josh, Ilkay Gundogan, 5.5. Yeah. Here is another player that could be very useful at the start of the season before David Silva is back and fit. I mean, Silva is surely going to be among the most fatigued. He had a very strenuous season. He had family issues, played a lot of minutes still for City, and was starting for Spain in the World Cup. So Gundogan, right. Though he played some minutes, I think he just had around 80 minutes for Germany in the World Cup, should be fresh right. enough to get that start. And we know Gundogan can get into the box and score a goal there and again. So if you don't already have three City players, 5.5 looks like a pretty good bargain.
Yep. Gundogan actually is very likely to be in my team. I think I'll probably have two Man City players in my midfield at this. I just don't see any reason not to. I mean, you know, you can look at fixtures all you want, but, you know, Man City are, you know, even without a bunch of their key players, that team is still going to be pretty loaded starting out the season. I mean, they're going to have Sergio Aguero virtually fresh and rested as well. So, virtually fresh. I mean, I know they played in the round of 16 match, but I don't know. I feel like Aguero will be ready by the start of the season.
Yeah. Just to round out the midfield, KDB at 10.0, he feels like that is a very fair price coming off of 8 goals, mm-hmm. 18 assists, 25 bonus points. KDB not a factor at the start of the season, but one to put on your watch list. You talked about the attack, Josh. Sergio Aguero, I think, is probably first choice. He's getting on. I mean, 30 years old. That's still enough to be, I guess, at peak performance. He looked good for Argentina when he was playing. He scored a couple handy goals for them. 21 goals last season, 6 assists, 22 bonus points. He, you know, had yet another season in which he racked up a 4-goal game. So incredible captain material. When Jesus is back and fully fit, then we have to have that conversation again about rotation and is it worth having either of them? But yeah, I agree. Aguero seems a pretty good choice for the start of the season.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, he's in my bus team right now too. We didn't actually have to reveal our teams, Brandon, because it's going to come out organically. I feel like this like rundown of teams too. It's like a little front loaded because we've got to run through, you know, Liverpool, Man City, Man United. But you know, there's just a lot to talk about with these teams.
Yeah, I don't know that we need to say too much more about City, but just to touch upon their defense, Jack on our Slack channel via Patreon asks, is Ederson the best way into the City defense, and will he beat David De Gea's points total in the upcoming season? So Ederson is emerging on all the forums as the premium goalkeeper of choice, priced to buy at 5.5. They have great fixtures, kept 16 clean sheets last season. I like him as a pick. I do like him more than David De Gea because he's just a little too premium for me at 6.0. But City's back line is going to be an absolute state coming into game week one. So many players who are at the World Cup. Is Mendy fit at all, given that he couldn't get into that France lineup, given what a powerhouse he can be when he is fit? So you're left with guys like Fabian Delph and Laporte. It doesn't fill me with great confidence. So a week or so ago, I was leaning toward Ederson, but now I'm back on the 4.5 rotation.
Yeah. Actually, it makes Aubameyang more tempting to have for your game week one squad, too. I know some people are like, well, I'll bring Aubameyang in game week three, you know, because they play City and Chelsea. But, you know, if Arsenal's at home in game week one and they're playing a City team with like a patchwork back line, and then they go to play Chelsea in game week two, another team that's going to have a really patched up back line, it could be, a really, really good chance to invest in Aubameyang. So,
anything else on City?
No, we'll be talking about them for like 30 minutes in every podcast for the rest of the season. So
I think we're good. take us to United.
All right, Man United. Opening fixture is good, but not great. Pretty good. I don't know. It's like it's not bad. They play Spurs. They play I'm rethinking it, Brendan. It's a pretty good opening. Okay. The problem is they're another team that's pretty affected by the World Cup. Pogba obviously is going to be out for a while, I think he was in the running for the Golden Ball,
rehabilitated his career. Amazing to watch. Definitely rooting for him.
Yeah. He'll always be a player who was, who performed, scored a goal in the World Cup final. Right. I mean, that's, it's no matter
hashtag
what else
Pogba can't shoot.
It'd almost be nice because I was just the way he gets treated on social media could be a little tiring sometimes. It's just because of his transfer fee, really,
But, yeah.
So you have Pogba, Jesse Lingard, Ashley Young, Romelu Lukaku. These are all players who are affected by the World Cup. Lingard, Young, Lukaku, Fellaini, Rashford, Phil Jones, Victor Lindelof, David De Gea, Marcus Rojo, and Nemanja Matic.
Lindelof, say it ain't so, Josh.
I know. 360 minutes for him, man. That's a lot of time. So,
that's about as long as the movie Magnolia.
Yeah, exactly. Incoming players right now. There's we're in that time with Man United where players are going to come in. We just kind of don't know who it's going to be yet. Right now, Fred is the only player who's joined. 6 million player, 4 goals, 7 assists in 37 games, and a meaty 14 yellow cards at Shakhtar.
Yikes!
Watch out for some suspensions.
Fred.
Well done. That was amazing. Let's just
get ready for a billion right said Fred jokes from the Premier League media coming up this season.
Hey, well, if they're over 45 or so. When was right said Fred was big in 92?
I am not older than 45, let the record show.
Toby Alderweireld is a possible target. Christian Bale is a maybe, although now it sounds like Bale's probably going to stay at Real. But that's probably going to be one of those twisty sagas that goes back and forth over the next couple of weeks. So key players, you've got Big Rom, nothing much needs to be said about him. He had a good World Cup, had 16 goals, 7 assists last year, 18 bonus points, which is pretty solid for a forward.
To know Big Rom is to both love him and hate him, I feel. So that's why.
Yeah, I mean, he had a moment at the start of last season where he would score a goal in the first 4 games, maybe the first 5 games. And you were like, this guy's going to score 35 goals this season. He's going to basically break the record that Salah broke. And then he just faded, and it was a long fade and it lasted most of the rest of the season, really. I mean, I think I probably dropped him from my squad around game week 15 or so. And I don't think I brought him in for the final 23 weeks of the season. I mean, to not have a player of his talent at a squad as big as Man United, for half the season. It's just, he should have done better. From an actual goal scorer, I know that he does a lot of things in the pitch and he plays hurt and he links up well, but he really should have scored more goals.
I think it's unclear to me. I do agree. He totally faded. He probably should have done more. The issue I would raise is that entire Manchester United team faded midway through the season. I mean, somehow managed to finish second place, a solid club nonetheless. But it seemed like a team issue as much as it was Lukaku's issue.
Yeah, that's fair. But it's not like it's the first time he's done this. He's done that at Everton too, for sure.
You really threw that one back in my face, Josh.
I was ready, wasn't I? It's like one of those a ball return things. Alexis, 10.5 million. I am really intrigued by Alexis as an option. I guess I probably won't have him now because I feel like I probably have to have Salah, and investing 24.5 million in those two players seems like too much. 9 goals, 10 assists last year, which is, obviously that he's priced based on his long-term history. It's not just what he did last year. He had 24 goals, 11 assists, and 32 bonus points the season before that. He was the dominant force in fantasy just one season before last. So I don't want to just completely write him off. And he has basically never had a summer off, right? Mm-hmm. This guy has played in, you know, in World Cups and Copa America, and just it feels like every season there's some new tournament that Alexis is playing, like playing 90 minutes or more in every match. So this summer, he finally has the summer off, finally has a chance to rest.
He couldn't get into the Asian Games.
Couldn't get into the Asian Games. He's finally playing with his dogs and living his best life. I think he is a player. He's a player to watch. And there I might do it. I might just have Alexis and Salah. And just the thing is, I don't know who the forward is going to be for Man United at the start of the season. Is it going to be Marcus Rashford? I mean, maybe. I don't think it's going to be Lukaku. We just played too many minutes. So isn't there a chance that Alexis plays as an out-of-position forward at the start of the season? And if so, I mean, Leicester, Brighton, the Spurs match is home, you know, Watford in game week 5, Wolves in game week 6. I mean, I know the Lukaku will probably be back at some point before then, but, you know, I don't know. I mean, just as an early, if you really wanted to be different, I think that starting and captaining Alexis in game week 1 is a real tempting possibility.
Yeah, I like it.
I'm throwing it out there. Other players to watch, you've got Jesse Lingard, a kind of a breakout season. He had an okay World Cup. 8 goals and 6 assists last year, though. Priced at a very reasonable $7 million, I have to say. I think I thought he would come in a little higher than that, and maybe there's some rotation worry there with him. But $7 million for a player, with, you know, given how on the rise he looked last mm-hmm. year,
yeah.
I think he's, you know, again, he's a player for the wild card. I don't think he'll start the season. I think he'll still be resting after the World Cup. Pogba's the same category. Another player with a great price, $8 million for a player with 6 goals and 13 assists last year. You know, Pogba's all it's you got to pick your spots with Pogba. You know, he'll have these moments where he's like trying to score goals, and then he'll it's like, I don't know. His role changes. He's so versatile, really. I mean, it's people mm-hmm. say it like he's mercurial, you know, but I feel like part of it is just that he can do so much. And so he's asked to do lots of different things. And sometimes he's asked to score, and sometimes he's asked to be, you know, in more of like a quarterback role in the defense. So, you know, it just kind of depends on where he's playing in any given match.
Yeah.
Antonio Valencia, $6.5 million, also a player with the summer off. Scored 3 goals last season, which is a nice little goal haul for Valencia.
Some beautiful goals, too.
Yeah, he did. I feel like every time he scores a goal, it's a beautiful goal. And then David De Gea, $6 million, 18 clean sheets, finally won the Premier League Golden Gloves. 10 bonus points. Player to watch under the rear option, I'll pick Eric Bailly. He's $5.5 million, and maybe he'll earn that starting spot, Brandon. We like Bailly around here.
I'd love to see some value in that back line. Some people pointing at Ashley Young at $6 million, but
it's not really value.
It isn't really value. He is on some set pieces. It's shocking how much of a baby Ashley Young looks like, even though he's 33 years old. I mean,
he's the boss baby.
He is the boss baby. Valencia is old too. These fullbacks are old as all get out.
Some graybeard fullbacks, aren't there? I think this is why, you know, Luke Shaw, apparently, I cannot believe that Luke Shaw isn't telling his agent to do everything he can to force a move somewhere else.
Seriously.
But there was news I was reading yesterday that Luke Shaw is being given a fifth chance or whatever to finally make it work at Man United. And it's just like, after the way Mourinho has treated you, why are you still there, man? Like, you have to leave. But if Luke Shaw sticks around, then yeah, long term, he could be a great option. He's $5 million is super cheap. So so we'll see.
All right, one more team before we take a break. I'm just going to blow through Newcastle. This is your FPL team, Josh. Pause. Okay. After game week 8. These after fixtures are absolutely brutal. Spurs in game week 1. I mean, you could spin a yarn about how Spurs are going to be completely out of sorts at the start of the season yet. Then they have Cardiff, fine. Then it's Chelsea, Man City, Arsenal, Palace, Leicester, and then Manchester
Palace
United.
Palace away, not a great fixture.
No, not at all. And here's what I have to say about Newcastle's attack. Please pass me these cyanide tablets. Their 3 available strikers are Perez, Gale, and Joselu. Right. I'm going to die.
I mean, Perez did play really well down the stretch. He had a fine final third of the season.
Yeah. Al on Twitter says, can't wait to hear you chat about all of Newcastle's big money signings. I believe his tongue is firmly in his cheek there. He does mention, of course, reloaning Kennedy, which a great one deal for them.
Yeah,
and great business. FPL wise, that's really the one to highlight for Newcastle. He's coming in at this amazing blockbuster price of $5 million. Yep. I mean, only 2 goals and 2 assists last season, but he's a very active player going forward. And that's short game time for Newcastle that he's got those 2 goals and 2 assists. So Kennedy is the one to flag. Lascelles at 5.0, it's a strange one because every other defender, yeah, Yedlin included, who's an interesting player, is at 4.5. So it's really hard to recommend paying a premium to get into the Newcastle defense.
Yeah, he's the captain. I guess that's part of it. You know, he plays every game.
Yeah, so he'll score on a corner kick. Very useful there. But Perez, you said he did look good toward the end of last season. 6.5, same priced, the same level as Joshua King, who
Chris
you
Wood.
Were talking about last podcast. I'd go Josh King over Perez to start the season for sure.
Or Chris Wood, my boy.
Or Woody.
Yep, exactly.
All right, let's take a break, Josh. We'll come back and we'll kick things
you
off.
Sound, yeah, I know. Get a glass of water, Brandon. We'll come back. We've got 5 more teams to go. We got some good ones, too.
Same old podcast, always cheating.
Brandon, we're back. We've got a team that I am actually kind of sort of interested in, and here's why. Southampton. Fixtures, okay, not too bad. Southampton are a pretty good team that had a pretty bad run at the end of last season, right? They were Southampton have been like a mid-table, flirting with the top six, you know. I mean, not flirting with the top six spots, but like flirting around like sixth to eighth place. The last few seasons, and everything kind of fell apart last year.
They were like steadily evolving Premier League club to the positive. Right. Yeah, I agree. Until last season. Yeah,
we know they have a good sort of executive system in place. They make good buys. They make great sales. They almost pulled a Swansea, right? Where Swansea kind of had that system too, and then they finally just sold too many good players, and then they had to go down, and that almost happened to Southampton too. But they were able to hold on, and now they're priced like a bad team. Like the no one is expensive on this team now, but they're still, I think, a pretty good squad, and I think they're better than they looked at the end of last season. So I think there really might be some value here. Let's get into how the World Cup affects them. Mai Yoshida and Cedric both had they both started all their matches. Yoshida played 4 matches. Cedric played 3. Jan Bednarek had 2 starts. And Cedric, by the way, is coming in at 4.5 million. So assuming that he has ample rest time, which I think he will, because only played 3 out of 4 of Portugal's matches. I think that he is an interesting option in that team. The player that I'm interested in is Yannick Vestergaard. Are you excited about Yannick Vestergaard, Brandon?
I couldn't be more excited.
A massive center back from Denmark. And he had 3 goals in 32 matches last season. He is basically the reason that Bednarek is priced at 4.4 million is because Yannick Vestergaard is going to take his spot. And hold on to it, because Yannick Vestergaard is the only non-keeper in the Bundesliga last season to play every minute of every match. How's that for a fun stat?
That is a perfect attendance award. I love that. Achievement unlocked, Yannick.
Yannick is the only non-goalkeeper to play every minute last season. So
his name sounds very clean sheet forward as well. Vestergaard, he's guarding the goal mouth, and you're vested in him. It's great. I love it. I trust him already.
Exactly. And Vestergaard, and Yannick Vestergaard, he is massive too. He's like 6'7". He is like a gigantic dude. I think he's an interesting option. He is still, I'm actually going to pop on this. He was not listed as of yesterday.
I see him right now, Josh. He's at 5 million.
Finally added. He's 5 million. Annoyingly, he's actually 0.5 more than I was hoping he would be. But
he got
possibly
that 6'7" bump.
He did. Possibly still an option. I think I probably like Cedric a little more in that case.
Yeah.
But it's just interesting. If you look through the defender prices for Southampton, they're priced like a promoted team. I mean, you know, or like a team that was just promoted. They're, you know, Bertrand is 5 million. All their keepers are 4.5 million. Cedric, Yoshida, Hoyt, Stevens, all 4.5. So, you know, it kind of depends on what their formation looks like. I mean, it's, you know, it's really, it's the first full season they've had with the, what's his name? With Mark,
Mark Hughes.
Thank you.
Mark Hughes.
Mark Hughes, the first full season with Mark Hughes. So the question is, I guess the one question is, you know, is Alex McCarthy the like for sure starting keeper going into next season? Or does Frazier Forrester possibly get a chance to win a spot back? I'd be a little wary of having McCarthy just for that reason. I don't know that he's a guaranteed starter. We'll probably know more in the upcoming matches, right? I mean, as they get closer to the season, they'll play their first team squad and we'll probably know between the two. But, you know, regardless, one of those two players will be $4.5 million. So yeah, pretty tempting.
They should just have a fight to the death to see who could win, who could win that starting berth. That's what I think.
Mohamed Elyounoussi, he is a Norwegian player who comes over from Basel, has 11 goals and scored 11 goals and 15 assists last season in Basel. He is another player in that weird 6.5 million midfielder bracket. There's like, you can build a whole 11 of weird 6.5 million players right now, Brandon. I can't recommend him at 6.5 million, but he's basically brought in, I think, to be in that kind of Tadic role, you know, a sort of attacking midfielder with some creativity. You know, had the summer off too, so maybe he comes out of the gate a little hotter. I have to admit, I don't watch as much Basel as I used to. You know, I used to be a big Basel head. I used to, I'd fly over to see Basel matches a few times a year.
It's not just a herb in your household.
It's not. I haven't seen him play. So all I know is that his stats are good. And he's kind of expensive, and 6.5 million on a Southampton team we're not really sure about seems like a lot. So
that sounds like a tacit endorsement of James Maddison, if I ever heard one.
That's true, or possible. We'll get to Diego Jota in a little bit, Brandon. He's an option too.
Okay.
So players to avoid. I think that Bednarek is he's tempting as a 4 million player, but I do think he's unlikely to start now that our beloved Yannick Vestergaard has arrived.
Welcome, finally. Vestergaard. Yeah, he'll be a Patreon tier at some point.
The Vestergaard tier will be. So Bednarek was one to avoid. I think possibly the entire midfield might be worth avoiding right now. Their fixtures are pretty good. So maybe bringing in one of these 4.5 million defenders makes sense to me. But just looking at this midfield, I mean, you got Ward-Prowse, Redmond, Davis. I mean, none of these players have me excited. Højbjerg, you know, like is Højbjerg ever, Pierre-Emile Højbjerg, is he ever going to live up to his potential?
Oh, yeah.
You know, another player is at 4.5 million who you kind of get excited about because you know it feels like there are points there from him, you know,
yeah.
But it hasn't happened yet. Players to watch, under the radar options, Charlie Austin, if he finds his form again, he's kind of in that you know, tier of forwards that we're sort of keeping an eye out for. I wouldn't rate him more highly. We've talked a lot of forwards in this podcast, the last one. And he's not at the top of my list right now. I mean, what do you think about Austin going into this season?
No, I don't like him at 6.0.
Yeah. Just a big no.
I mean, it seems he's healthy again after last season was just a non-season for him. Even when he could get healthy, the team was just in disarray and he couldn't get a lot of opportunities to score. So it was hard to really judge what kind of form he is in. I guess seeing how he performs in the preseason, if it comes to that. But that's a wait and see.
Here's one thing I'll say about Austin. He has a great photo on the Fantasy Premier League site. It is the most confident a person can look. It's like he looks like it's like he's been posed. I mean, you can't look more confident than he does. It's like shoulders are squared.
Yeah, I see what you mean. It's his arms are a little away from his sides. He's like but he's not really puffed up. It's just sort of
Austin. Who's the guy who plays Thor? He's got like a Chris Hemsworth kind of thing going on. Like just
okay,
like a very yeah. Charlie Austin, handsome guy, Brandon.
Bit of a
beefcake. That's all I got to say about Southampton. I takeaway is consider investing in defender, avoid the midfield, the attack for now.
Okay. All right. Spurs. Here's my Spurs preview. This is my fun little line I've written about Spurs. Hello, I'm Spurs, and my whole team just advanced very far in the World Cup. So FPL Chancer on Twitter says, I'm very worried about it. I'm very worried as a Spurs fan. Half our squad went deep in the World Cup, and Son misses the first month due to the Asian Games. Are you avoiding them early on? So, yes, I think Spurs are to avoid both the World Cup shenanigans. So many of these starting players are going to have to be rested.
Right.
Additionally, they don't really have a home right now. Their stadium doesn't open until they host Liverpool, I think it is, in September 15th in game week 5. But the fixtures as they are, Newcastle, Fulham, Manchester United, Watford, Liverpool, Brighton, Huddersfield, Cardiff, not bad. But with the big heavy hitters like Harry Kane, Dele Alli, Christian Eriksen, and Heung-Min Son, as we've discussed, all probably having to be sidelined due to fatigue. I think we could talk a little bit about Christian Eriksen maybe being the one that will show up on game week 1. But then you've got their defense. I mean, Jan Vertonghen is going to need to sit down. He's an old man, Josh, and he went very far with Belgium. Toby, as you mentioned, could be off to Manchester United or some other team. He still hasn't signed a new contract. It appears that he's almost definitely out.
Right. Yeah.
Wingers are all at 6.0. All of the defenders, they're all 6.0. So it's a bit of a hard.
They just threw up their hands. They're just like, all right, whatever. Just they're all 6.0.
I guess Ben Davis is really the one that I look to when it comes to the defense, because he did not play over the summer. He's had a long rest. He's still been one of their more reliable fullbacks and a great FPL player. So perhaps worth a flyer for Ben Davies, but everyone else in the defense, I think you have to stay away from.
So this opened up the window for, like, I don't know, Sissoko or Lamella maybe. I mean, Sissoko's only 5 million, so possible punt early in the season. Lamella maybe. He had his moments last year.
The ridiculous punt for me is Fernando Llorente, priced at 6.0. I don't see how he can't get quite a few minutes with Harry Kane out at the start of the season. If you believe that Spurs are going to score goals, they really could go through Llorente. And yeah, as you mentioned, Lamella at 6.5, definitely emerging as a midfield dork house.
Dork. There it is.
I cannot say dark horse. Eric Lamella. Yeah, so I'll stand by the Eric Lamella pick at 6.5.
Sure. Just as an option. Another chancy 6.5. I guess 6.5 is just that chancy spot, right? It's like, it's the, like, we don't know how to rate you spot, you know, or it's like, we think you could be good, but you could also be bad. So we're just going to make you 6.5.
Yeah. Eriksen, 9.5 million, just to put him on the table for later on in the season, if you feel he's too much of a risk for game week 1. He goes into that conversation of one of the most consistent FPL players imaginable. You always feel like he's flagging, but he finishes in the top five midfielders every season. He was just behind Salah and Sterling and KDB in fourth place for FPL mids last season.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think, and he upped his goal threat a little bit last year too. Yeah, I mean, this to me is they're a first wild card team. They're not a team that you invest in heavily right now. And I don't even see a lot of, I mean, I like the Llorente thing as like a punt, assuming he even stays, because I know he was kind of grumbling about maybe looking for a new club. The Llorente punt, but yeah, other than that, what do you want to have Michel Vorm for 3 weeks? You know, it's like, there's just not a lot of like, there's not even like fun players to have on a punt. You know, it just feels like. Right. You just bring them in and eventually you'd have to drop them because they're going to get replaced by the better other players in their squad.
All right. So I agree. Not much to say here about Spurs because they are a first wildcard team, but we have to just touch upon the Harry Kane price tag of 12.5. Fair price tag, unfair price tag?
A fair price tag. I mean, the best pure striker in the league. I mean, the best pure scorer in the league. 29 goals, 2 seasons in a row. I mean, if Robin Van Persie could be priced at 12.5, then certainly seems appropriate for Kane as well. I mean, you know, if he'd had an even bigger final game of the last season, he could have broken the goal scoring record himself, you know? Yeah. So,
yep.
Yeah, that seems totally fair to me. He missed a few minutes, and he missed a few games with an ankle injury. So yeah, makes total sense.
Okay, cool. Take us out to Watford.
All right. Watford, up and down fixtures. When you look at them over 10 weeks, they don't look too bad. They start pretty hot. They play Palace and Brighton at home in two of the first three game weeks. Then they do play Spurs, Man United, and Arsenal from game weeks 4 through 7. So another team, you know, if you're thinking about that game week 4 wild card, game week 5 maybe wild card player to look at. There's 4 game weeks before the first wild card or before the first international break. So if you like to have the international break to sort of think about your team, those first 4 game weeks are the game weeks you're going to be planning for this kind of first round of players. Stephen Toomey, a producer of the Always Shooting podcast, says Richarlison at 6.5 or Deulofeu at 5.5. Without a forward to score, do we look past these two players? He's also on the right. The we is because he is a bona fide Watford fan. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that, you know, Deulofeu just signed a permanent deal. He had 3 goals and 3 assists and 24 combined appearances in 2 leagues last season. Not a player that I've ever been particularly fond of. In fact, I would go so far as to say I kind of hate Deulofeu. But there's no doubt that he played better at the, you know, when he joined Watford last year. He definitely played better. And full year with the new squad, reasonable price, good fixtures of the season, 5.5 million, right? So he's not 6.5, so it's a million less. I actually don't think that's a terrible punt. There is at least a like universe that exists where I have Deulofeu in my game week 1 squad. Like, it's not impossible, you know? Yeah. What do you think?
I could exist in that same universe, Josh. And I do like him over Richarlison at 6.5. That 6.5 bracket. Richarlison had a hot streak at the start of last season, but Deulofeu, even though he can be streaky in the same regard, he has had streaks across multiple seasons. And cheaper price point just feels more appealing.
I mean, Richarlison looked like he was on his way to Barcelona after like 8 games last year. And then didn't he go like 15 weeks without scoring? He had some just insane.
Then he was on his way to Barcelona, Florida at that point.
Right, exactly. Play the what is the United States U.S. Championship Division? There's some whatever it is below MLS in America.
Sure, your beloved carpet football. He was going to play indoor soccer.
I think I also prefer Deulofeu. I also like, I mean, Deulofeu is just a very experienced player at this point. I mean, he's played in the Premier League over multiple seasons. You know, he was at Everton before that, before joining Watford. And, you know, he's been in the Liga as well. So, it's interesting. I'm kind of talking myself into Deulofeu a little bit.
Fair to call him a canny operator. And I do like that about him. I mean, his floppy haircut is one thing, but he's a real canny operator.
Yeah. World Cup's not going to affect them very much. Morocco's Nordin Amrabat is the only player who actually played in the World Cup for Watford. At least that's on the current squad. Incoming players, I mentioned Deulofeu. Ben Foster joins the squad at 4.5 million. He had 10 clean sheets, 11 bonus points last season, which is pretty good bonus point haul for a keeper.
Bus team Claxon here.
Yeah, I mean, it just makes some sense, especially with those early fixtures, right? I mean, you could see 2 clean sheets in the first 3. The rest of their defense, I find it's hard for me to have a total beat on right now. I don't feel confident in recommending. I mean, you know, there, you have players like Mariappa who got big minutes last year and Prottle, and I don't know. I mean, there's like a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5s. They have 12 defenders listed right now on their site. You know, all of them.
That's the
between,
thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Exactly. Yanmat, I don't know why Yanmat's at 5 million because that guy cannot stay healthy. But Yanmat is the only 5 million defender. Everyone else is 4.5 or cheaper.
He's got an attacking streak in him. I think that's why he gets that price tag. But it's not like he's been doing the business recently.
Yeah, I agree that Ben Foster seems a lot safer. I guess if I just like gun to my head, I wouldn't pick Holobas. Holobas was in and out of the squad last year. Cabaselli was and Kiko Femenino. Those are both pretty stable players. So maybe those two. It's the kind of like those players, the kind of players you bring into your squad in game week 1 and then they don't start game week 1. And you're like, crap, you know, like yeah. what a waste. Now I'm gonna have to burn a transfer to, you know, to bring in someone else already. So I would probably stay away from that defense for now, with the exception of Ben Foster.
Okay.
All right. So Adam Messina, 4.5 million left back, moved from Bologna. Probably looks like he's probably going to get that starting left back spot, but not much of an FPL asset, at least in terms of his attacking returns. He had 0 goals, 1 assist, 9 yellow cards last season. So sounds tough, but I don't know if I see a lot of fantasy value there. It's just weird in general. I mean, this team was not, it was kind of a weird, I mean, they were kind of irrelevant in fantasy the last half of last season. I'd say once Richarlison faded, there just wasn't a lot. We weren't talking about Watford at all. Right.
No.
You had Decore, one of the key players last year, 7 goals, 4 assists, comes in at 6 million. So it's a little bump from his 5 million starting price last season, but still reasonable at 6 million. Some talk that he might be on the move. Everton have lodged a bid for him, although that bid was turned down. You've got Richarlison, who we mentioned before, 5 goals and 8 assists. But I think like 4 of those 5 goals were in the first 10 weeks of last season. Perea is a player that I've always loved, but the total injury risk, he's, you know, 5 goals and 3 assists last season. 6 million is too high. I don't know why he's priced at 6 million. I guess it's on potential, but I'd like him a lot more if he was 5.5 million.
Well, I think you've got it right here. He's the classiest player in this midfield. So I think he gets the bump because of that. He's just the standout.
Dresses so well, and he's classy. He's
fine, knows how to fine use every, clothes.
If you put him at a table and you had like 6 forks, he would know when to use each fork as you move through the, you know, through all the dishes.
He would.
He's very classy. Players to avoid. I'm going to put Gray and Deeney both in there. They both struggled last year. They're both available for 6 million. Do they tempt you, Brandon?
There are fans of Premier League teams who are hoping and praying that Andre Gray doesn't get transferred to their team.
he's never gotten over the social media thing, has he?
No. Yeah. He just didn't really look good at all moving to Watford, and did struggle a bit. At Burnley too. He's not really turned into a Premier League striker. He's tempted by either of them. Deeney,
he's turned into a pumpkin is what he's done, Brandon.
Yeah. Deeney was fun for a while, but that ship has sailed. It's long gone. Yeah. I think you're right that it's kind of Ben Foster. And well, what about one guy you haven't mentioned is Will Hughes, and he is the albino midfielder who dazzled us when fit.
Just stay healthy. That's when fit with Hughes. I mean, Will Hughes spent the entire season battling fitness last year, came out and was good, and then immediately got injured again. So I just don't like to recommend players like that because it's no fun to have players that can't stay healthy in your team.
Yeah.
So speaking of that, I'm going to recommend the oft unhealthy Chalobah as a possible under the radar option. Only 4.5 million. I would definitely not recommend starting your team with him, but he is a dangerous player. And, you know, he's one of those underlying, I mean, like you look at his points last season, I mean, there's nothing to recommend him, but, a lot of the underlying stats, a lot of the promise that he showed before his injury last season, you know, pointed him as a player on the up. So, you know, maybe just someone to keep an eye on, you know, put him on your watch list and, you know, check back in a few weeks.
Yeah.
And that's why for Brandon.
Okay. West Ham, this is perhaps the most insane team preview I have ever researched. it's kind of an entirely new team. New manager in Emo Pellegrini. They have some really intense fixtures to start the season. They've got a reclassified star attacker in Arnautovic, and then they have a whole slew of new signings. So I'm going to try and put this into a digestible sort of chunk of podcast, but stop me if I start to bore you. Okay.
Okay. All right. I'm ready.
Manuel Pellegrini. He's back in the Premier League. So you look at David Moyes, he looks like a wrinkled human, but he's not that old. Manuel Pellegrini is the Chilean version of David Moyes. He is another wrinkled human.
Right, but he's actually a vampire, so he's closer to like 200 years old.
It's true. He has that assistant coach who always sits next to him like a blood bag that Pellegrini just lives off of. So if you're into vampires and blood bags, this and you're a West Ham fan, you might be in luck. But you've got basically a whole team. I'm gonna have to run through some of these new signings.
Do it lightning round style. It's all right. We're an hour and 50 minutes in. You know, it's okay.
All right. So lightning round style. Arnie gets the reclassification. Now he's $7 million. Good news. He's already scoring in the preseason on Saturday. He hit one past Wycombe. So that bodes well. Coming off a season of 11 goals, 7 assists, and 12 bonus points, there's a lot to like about Arnie here. And if you're looking at that $7 million price tag, I Jack on our Slack channel and FPL Trecartista, they asked the magic question: who do you take at $7 million in your squad? Is it going to be Arnie? Is it going to be Zaha? Or is it going to be Sanctosin at Everton? And I don't know if there's an exact, well, there's obviously not a right answer to that question at this point. There's a lot to recommend all these guys, but I think we have to talk about these midfielders to give us a better sense of how we feel about Arnautovic. So Mctavious asks, do you think all these new signings are that West Ham are making can gel and have a good season, or are they going to flop like Everton did last season with their 100 number 10s? So the number 10s are like this, Josh. Priced at $7 million, Felipe Anderson, 25-year-old Brazilian. He's an attacking mid who comes in from Lazio. He's got one cap for Brazil. Last season for Lazio, he scored 8 goals, but in my research, I found that he does have a reputation for being wasteful in the final third. So it's like the creative-minded individual that just isn't able to turn his homework in on time.
Always a fun player to have, a wasteful in the final third player.
Yeah.
It's like the least favorite fantasy player.
The one that I find equally mysterious, or perhaps more mysterious, but more tempting, is Andre Yarmolenko. Apologies for the pronunciation there. He's a big boy, 6'3", 28-year-old Ukrainian winger from Dortmund. Some wonder if he was going to be classed as a forward in the game, but he's come through as a midfielder at $7 million. So kind of positioned as that Salah style attacking mid who plays out on the flanks. If you're a Spurs fan, you may remember Yarmolenko. He scored against Spurs in the Champions League last season. However, that was just one of his 3 goals for Dortmund. He suffered a bit of injury last season, missing out in 2 months. But Dortmund, he played 1 year of his 4-year contract, and now he's signed a permanent deal with West Ham. Is that a good sign, Josh? I don't think it's a good sign.
No, but they did. Yeah, there's been some turmoil at Dortmund the last couple of years, so I think he could just be like a turnover sort of thing. I don't know that I necessarily see that as a bad sign. You know, it's Dortmund is finding their identity right now, right? They've sort of brought in all these washed up. Well, we could go on about Dortmund, but you know, we'll save that for our Bundesliga preview pod.
I think you may be right, though, because the historical data on Yarmolenko says Dortmund was a bit of an outlier. He was a goal machine at his previous club, Dynamo Kiev. He scored at least 19 goals in 4 consecutive seasons before moving to Dortmund. So he does have that in his locker. How about this? So Villa loanee Robert Snodgrass has been popping up in preseason matches for West Ham. Could he be on his way to a return to the Premier League?
That would make Guy Yedwab very happy, wouldn't it?
Guy Yedwab, the snod is God. He would love that. But the snod not in the FPL game at the moment, though he keeps popping up in preseason friendlies. Antonio suffering from his chronic hamstring injury, too. Would love to talk about him, but there's nothing to say. Mosuaku, you brought him up earlier in the pod, Josh. He's been reclassed as a midfielder, and here's the problem. In preseason fixtures, he's been starting at left back. First of all, he's going to have to compete with Cresswell for that position. Second of all, nobody wants a defender that's moved up the pitch because you're missing out on clean sheet points for somebody who's playing as a defender. I know he can kind of get forward, but I'm not liking that.
Yeah, it's true. The price is tempting, but yeah, I agree.
Quick on the defense here, Winston Reid, who's sort of the central figure there, he remains out with a knee surgery. But we have got some new signings here. Fabian Balbuena, priced at 4.5. Balbuena, 26-year-old Paraguayan center back. He's coming from Corinthians in Serie A. Bit of a goal machine here. Two goals, then six, then three in his last three seasons. So he's proven on set pieces.
11 goals over three seasons, Brandon.
You've been watching a lot of Sesame Street with your with your daughter.
My daughter, yeah, that's right.
Issa Diop, he's another center back signing. And then Ryan Fredericks, who came from Fulham. He's 25 years old. Feels overpriced at 5.0. As I said, pretty much everyone else is 4.5. He has only scored one goal in his entire career. So not a lot of attacking output from him. So yeah. I just can't really recommend him. The thing is, you're going to see Zabaleta popping up in all the preseason lineups for West Ham. And he's going to be displaced by Fredericks at some point. So don't be fooled by seeing Zabaleta pop up in these match reports, even though he won a penalty in one of their preseason matches that Andy Carroll then missed and then proceeded to injure his ankle. And he's now Carroll is out indefinitely. So I know that's a huge surprise. There's poor one Carroll. More player I have to mention. Who is it?
Fabianski.
Yeah, he is actually the only one waiting for the
Fab reveal.
Yeah. So Arnie and Fabianski, these are the two West Ham players that are really to talk about. He was priced at 4.5. It's pretty generous. He had a great season for Swansea, even though they were relegated. He's just a save machine. He produced Poland's only clean sheet of the World Cup when he got his start in their final group stage match. 9 clean sheets and 3 penalty saves last season equals 14 bonus points. Only Jack Butland made more saves in the league than Fabianski did last season. So it's just a matter of, do you think that the line in front of Fabianski is going to help him keep some clean sheets along the way? And I think that's in doubt.
Yeah, and the fixtures aren't great either. I mean, they play Liverpool, Arsenal, Chelsea, Man United in 4 of their first 8 fixtures. So, you know, you could rotate them because, I mean, they do play Bournemouth and Wolves home in game weeks 2 and 4. So maybe there's some clean sheet potential there. But, I mean, just what I'm looking at right now, I feel like I wouldn't want to start Fabianski. I mean, okay, you can always get saves, right? So that's you know, ideally, you know, going into the season, you want to set it up so that you can really maximize clean sheets and a good, assuming you're going for a rotation style and not just going with an expensive keeper. So I wouldn't really necessarily want to rotate a player that I wouldn't be able to start in 6 of the first 8 unless I just found the perfect pairing with him. I mean, I know that like Begovic and Fabianski pair up reasonably well, but I'm kind of souring on Begovic and that whole Bournemouth defense right now. So I don't know that I'd be going that way.
Yeah.
All right, Brandon, let's move on to Wolves, our final team. Wolverhampton won the league last year. They really kind of ran the table last year. They're an interesting squad. They, you know, Wolves were, you know, when I was sort of really getting into football, but coming in like 10 years ago now, Wolves were in the league, and we had your friend from college, like John.
Oh yeah. John Stevenson. Big Wolves fan.
I always had a soft spot for him for that. You know, I liked Mick McCarthy. You know, I was sad when they were relegated. So it is fun to see Wolves back in the league. I think it's an interesting team, and I think there's a lot of interesting fantasy potential here. Some of it will be in that to be determined category, but just to talk about them quickly, they had the best defensive record in the championship. They only conceded 39 goals in 46 total games. That's 24 clean sheets. They play in a 3-4-3 sort of Chelsea-style formation. Wingbacks play up the pitch. And we'll talk more about those wingbacks in a second. The World Cup doesn't affect them very much. Rui Patricio, their new keeper, did start for Portugal. And then Sice started 2 games for Morocco. So we talked about Patricio. We actually talked about him in a podcast a few weeks ago. But he's the you know, new signing. He comes in at 4.5 million, so a very reasonable price for a keeper of his quality. And given their clean sheet record last season, starting goalkeeper for Portugal is 70 caps, you know, 460 appearances for Sporting Lisbon, kept 179 clean sheets in those appearances. They've also brought in Raul Jimenez, who was on the Mexican national team. Didn't actually really, was more of a bench player on the Mexican national team, but does have 31 goals and 120 appearances for Benfica. Available at a very reasonable 5.5 million, classified as a forward. So a possible option up there in that Bobby, what's Bobby's last name on Cardiff?
Oh, Bobby Reed.
Bobby Reed. Thank you. The Bobby Reed category.
I thought you forgot Bobby Firmino's name for a second. Bobby I was worried Firmino. About you. Like you were stroking out there.
Yeah, Bobby Firmino's coming in at 5.5. So you really you got to look that way. Key players, you got Diego Llota, 6.5 million, 17 goals, 6 assists. I did have 9 yellow cards for Wolves last season. He's a 21-year-old Portuguese player. He did not actually play in the World Cup, though. Classified as a midfielder, he is a player that is kind of a – people who follow the championship closely, when the prices were announced, like he was a player that a lot of people are putting their team already. He's sort of in that category of risky 6.5 million midfielders. He's one who really does stand out as kind of the really key attacking option on Wolves. At least he was last season. So an interesting option. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's I kind of like him as a punt just because it looks like they're going to be able to score some goals. I think their fixtures are not bad. They play Everton and Leicester in the first two fixtures. They do play Man City in game week 3, but then it's West Ham, Burnley, Southampton, Palace. It's not a bad start to the season for Wolves. So I invested in maybe one lone wolf.
I like it.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like a bad idea.
That's a solid tactic. The lone wolf tactic.
The lone wolf strategy. Exactly. So let's move on to the defenders. The interesting one here is Barry Douglas. And so Jack on Slack says, why is Barry Douglas 5 million? And I don't know if he means why is he so high or why should he be higher? Because Barry Douglas is a defender who basically had a like supersized Marcus Alonso performance last year. He had 38 starts, 5 goals and 14 assists. I mean, can you ever remember seeing 14 assists from a defender?
That's insane.
That's
Mesut Ozil territory.
Yeah. So 5 goals and 14 assists from Barry Douglas, classified as a defender, possibly worth the extra 0.5 million. I mean, it's, I don't know. I mean, it sounds like he could have been in that Masuaku category where he just could have been classified as a midfielder.
The name like Barry Douglas, he sounds like he should be a game show host. What kind of name is that? Barry Douglas?
Yeah, it does sound like a game show host name. If you want to go a little cheaper, the other side of the wingback formation, you've got Matt Doherty, who is a bit of a singer-songwriter, Brandon, I believe. Isn't Matt Doherty a singer?
Is that Soul Coughing?
Soul Coughing, exactly. Soul Coughing lead singer Matt Doherty in his second act as a Wolverhampton defender. Classified a little cheaper at 4.5 million, had 4 goals and 4 assists last season, a mere 10 goals less than Barry Douglas. If you want, for some reason, to go with their center backs, you've got Will Bowley and Connor Cody, both had plenty of starts, and Will Bowley picked up 3 goals and 2 assists. Ryan Bennett is the player that people are talking about here, is an interesting option. He got 27 starts last year, classified at 4 million as a starting price. So the question is he – the FPL game is pretty good in general about not giving starting defenders a 4 million price tag. So there must be at least some idea that he's going to get displaced, Bennett. But going into the season, there's a reasonable chance that Bennett actually will be a 4 million starter for Wolves. So in that case, he might be a player to keep an eye on or just, stash as your fifth defender.
There's always one 4 million player.
Exactly. We always find one. The player to avoid is Ruben Neves. He scored a spectacular goal late in the season, but more of an assist to the assist type player. So kind of tempting at 5 million, but I think I'd rather go Tom Carney if I was going with a 5 million player on a promoted team.
Absolutely. I mean, yes, Tom Carney all the way. We're all team Carney. Carney is being chiseled into the FPL stone template right now.
He definitely is. Just a player to watch or another radar option, Rui Patricio, who we talked about earlier, but really interesting option, I think, at 4.5 million, just given his quality. I think he might be the only concern there is that maybe he gets a little extra rest and John Ruddy, who's a quality keeper in his own right, plays the first couple matches of the season.
Yeah, right. Well, Wolves, I wish you the best of luck this season. They do have my favorite home kit so far.
Yeah, I kind of like this team. I just think they're like they're just interesting. You know, this is not your typical promoted team, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, they used, you know, transfers and loans really well to kind of just remake their team last year. And they're actually holding on to a lot of these players. So it's pretty exciting.
It's not easy to do.
Yeah, exactly. As you're seeing with Fulham.
All right, Josh, that was quite a journey. From Arsenal to Wolverhampton, we have now previewed all 20 teams in the Premier League. But that's not it for our preseason coverage. We've got more coming up, including our special annual FPL rules for success. So you have that to look forward to in the coming weeks and much more preseason coverage. And we'll probably unveil our bus teams at some point.
Exactly. Yeah. Later, a little closer to the start of the season. Just one note. We are recording this on a Monday night. I don't think our next podcast is actually until next week, Thursday. Brandon, you're actually going to Scotland for a week or so.
Oh, yeah. Right? I should mention, for anyone that's still listening, then maybe you want to meet me for a beer. If you live in Glasgow, Scotland, please send a DM to us on Twitter or hit us up at hailcheaters@gmail.com. And I'd love to hear from you. Maybe we can get together in Glasgow.
So
I'm there this Thursday through the following Tuesday, I think it is.
Right. So we'll be probably about a week off between a little week and change between these podcasts. But then we've got a few more. We actually have a pod schedule, maybe one or two a week leading up to the start of the season. Then we'll be back on that normal rotation of Sunday night or Monday night, depending on when the fixtures take place. I have just lined up a special Patreon exclusive pod for this coming weekend. So I'm excited to announce that as the details get firmed up. But for now, thank you for listening to the podcast. For all of our patrons, thank you very much. If you'd like to become a patron, support the podcast in any way. Or if you are a patron and you don't feel like you have all of the things that you typically get for being a patron, like you don't have the Slack link or you don't have the league code yet, let me know. One thing that's kind of frustrating about the FPL website is you can't actually tell who you've invited to the league yet. Like it'd be nice if there was like a pending invite section or something like that.
Yeah.
So if by mistake I have not sent you an invite, just let me know. But patreon.com/alwayscheating is where you can learn more about all that stuff. Producer thank yous. Mike DiPietro, Stephen Toomey, Sam Streak, Jacob Roberts, Nick Costello. Thank you to all our producers. Brandon, what else?
Yeah, take a bow, producers. What special people? Give us a 5-star review on iTunes. We got a couple ratings on iTunes over the last week. So thank you to whoever you angels are out there that gave us 5 stars and wrote us a review. That helps the podcast a lot. If that's the least you can do, we truly appreciate it. Just subscribe to the pod. Of course, Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Acast, Google Play, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter, where we're the most active. It's easy to get in touch with us there, @HailCheaters on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/alwayscheating. Send us an email with your lengthy missives. We'd love to hear from you, and we'll get right back to you. The email address is hailcheaters@gmail.com. And, of course, just visit the website where all that information is, alwayscheating.com.
I love these team preview pods, and I love that they're over. I'll just say that. All right, Brandon, we'll have fun in Scotland, and I'll see you in a week or so.
All right. Hail Mike, Steven, Sam, Jacob, Nick, and Poku. Do you think we could get Poku to be a producer? That would be amazing.
We should talk to him. Talk to his people.